Hi, and welcome to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. My guest today is the poet, Aidan Engel. Aidan Engel is a residential counselor for individuals with intellectual disabilities, as well as the drummer of the band Moonspeaker. He earned a BA in psychology from Carlow University. His poems have appeared in Pittsburgh City Paper, Chapter and Verse, and Pittsburgh Poetry Review. His chapbook, entitled Instructions from a Vocal Microphone, is currently being sent out for publication. Hi, Aidan. How are you?
Hi, Jen. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you. This is your first time on Prosody, and looking forward to hearing your work. So you're going to start with some poems from your chapbook manuscript.
That's correct. Yes.
Okay, so go ahead.
All right. This first poem I'm going to read is actually the title poem, Instructions from a Vocal Microphone. Bring your lips close to my widescreen and whisper, I promise to magnify your sorrows. Secrets and sins blow through my diaphragm like confession to the ears of a priest. Except I'll not shame you with any Our Fathers or Hail Marys. Step back from my stand when you scream, for I'm sensitive to the bellowing sufferer. And grab me if you need something to hold on to when the blues rip through you, making you fall to your knees. Let yourself fall. Let yourself wail. I'll be there to match your frequencies. And this next one I'm going to jump into takes a darker turn. Figured I'd get to that quick right after Instructions from a Vocal Microphone. It is titled Love the Hunted. The other night I accepted a collect call from my dad. The first time we've spoken in the 9 months he's been in Allegheny County Jail. Says he tried to get transferred to the pod that David, his cousin, is on, but David's on the top floor, maximum security. It's not looking good for him. There's a pause. I never know how to fill the silence, and why should it look good for a man who killed his wife? Things like this happening make me worry about your brother. I'm surprised that we share the same concern, but I guess he has the time to reflect. It seems living in a cage is the only thing that frees him from the dope. This world is full of things and people that kill things and people. David killed Donna. His defense attorney reported that he loved his wife very much, but I refuse to believe that love is homicide. In this family, we are hunters, but without the 10-point buck taxidermy on the living room wall. We are hunted, gutted, spilling blood trails across the south suburbs of Pittsburgh. This next poem is part of a series of poems I have about skateboarding, which never really turn out to be about skateboarding, but about something else. This is titled Skating Waves and Friendship. The city's full of displaced rocks and automobile traffic, this I know. And some say I'm crazy when they see me flying by. Dogs bark baffled by the humans speeding on by. It's true, I could ride the sidewalk, but they're riddled with cracks and walkers, and let's face it, wheels are meant for the street, so I allow my body become bored and roll. Carve the pavement as if side of street were wave, curling around and cradling me in its barrel. Feel the breath of friendship as it shoots me out, like the surfer emerging from a closing pipeline wave. I refuse to let the city lights be like wave, crashing down on top of me, pulling me under. This next one is titled My Coworker Tells Me How It Is, and it sort of details this conversation that the speaker has with a coworker. So this poem relies heavily on dialogue. Wait till you work there. Two of the men think they're women. I try to go to my happy place. a technique I use while changing clients' diapers. Coco, she laughs. That's what one of them likes to be called. He has HIV. I don't know how you get that, but I don't want to find out. She points to an empty bottle of Purell. See this? I used the entire bottle after I left that place. The most neutral thing I can think to say is, that's interesting. I say that every time she pauses. She continues. He, she, whatever. I clench my fists as I sit across from her. This is where I start hoping she doesn't suspect the lack of bulge in my sweatpants to be anything other than a small penis. The other one's on hormones and has breasts. I wouldn't have even known it was really a man if staff hadn't told me. My therapist tells me that I don't have to be a sounding board for her bigotry. He suggests I escape by using the bathroom or making a phone call. But how can I escape when I'm paralyzed at the thought of being found to be a he, she, whatever?
If you just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Aidan Engel reading his poetry. Aidan, I wanted to ask you about, you know, something I noticed right away in your work, which is the element of risk. Mm-hmm. And I really admire that you are willing to, you know, to talk about difficult material and to not just talk about it, but to enter that material in really in ways that might make the reader uncomfortable and get to emotional places. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about the writing of that, the writing of risk, and how you get to those places when you're writing, if that's challenging for you as a writer, what do you use to get the courage to push yourself to those places?
Well, I guess you could say I am an emotional and sensitive person, so it's not really hard for me to get to these places, and it's not something I consciously do. It sort of just comes out on the page, and sometimes it takes a bit of writing for me to get to those places. And then I know once I get to those places, that might be the start of that poem.
Well, it's, you know, it's one thing to feel those things, another thing to create a poem that is successful. And for example, in the poem, the prison poem where the father is in prison, there's a great line, in this family we are hunters. There's a great power of statement in your work. So I know there's a lot of crafting that goes on in your work. And so you might feel this, but then reading it in front of an audience, putting it out, you have a chapbook manuscript. Is that a different experience for you?
Crafting the poem into...
putting that risk on the page and then reading it and putting it out into the public.
It is certainly uncomfortable for me. I definitely have mixed feelings about putting this work out there. Mainly, how will it be received? Mm-hmm. Which is something I guess you could say I shouldn't really care about.
Well, why shouldn't you care about that?
Because it's not necessarily the best thing to care in your work about what other people think.
Right, but it's human nature, and it's hard to escape that. But well, can you tell me what some of your concerns are?
Mainly how it's going to be received by family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's my main concern.
That's always tough, I think, and a concern that comes up with many writers. So yeah, And yet you're writing the poems. And you're sending the chapbook manuscript out there, so that's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. If it was easy, everyone would do it right.
True.
So, could you read some more poems?
Sure. Mm-hmm. This next one is titled Whimper, and this is loosely based off of the experience of working in a house taking care of individuals with intellectual disabilities, and this one focuses on a client with dementia. Whimper. Skin hangs loose from her stomach and arms as she sits naked on the toilet, whimpering. She's dying, you think. When you ask if she's in pain, she stares blankly away from you, says nothing, whimpers more. The whimpers put you on edge, and you want to tell her to just stop it already. But she can't help it, and it's your job to be gentle. You help her out of her nightgown, clean her up, change her diaper, help her into clean clothing, brush her hair, indentures, make her breakfast. Some nights she doesn't sleep at all, sits on the edge of her bed with her hands on her walker, staring at her closet door, whimpering. Nikki asks if you've ever thought about ending it, her life, like hold a pillow over her face while she is sleeping. You'd be lying if you said you've never thought about it, and what does that make you? You wonder why death comes sudden for some, but slow for others, and which is really the better route to go. You believe people leave the body when they're ready for it, but still, you can't figure out what she's holding on for. This next poem is titled Solar Eclipse, March 8th, 2016. There was this period of time where I would walk to the cemetery and just sit in the cemetery, and I took my journal and I would write, and this is one of the poems that came from that experience. My dad's celebrating his 47th birthday in Butler County Jail, clean. During our last collect call, he told me an inmate bit off another inmate's ear because he wanted to watch a different TV show. The sun bobs in and out of clouds as I sit in Mount Lebanon Cemetery. Carolyn says we won't be able to see the eclipse from Pittsburgh, but its power will be transformative. Light, then dark, then light, then dark. I try to see the eclipse as I sit with forgotten gravestones, the ones made from the slate of the 18th century. Some sink into the hillside, lean forward. They were created to keep the dead from rising, keep spirit underground. I sit on top of corpses, waiting for the cratered veil to awaken the things inside me that have died. So I am a drummer, and sometimes I dabble with recording. I have this program called Logic Pro, which I use to record on my computer, and I was just playing around with it one day, and I noticed that a lot of the plugin settings were very sort of interesting phrases. They really struck me, so I decided to create a poem based on that found language. This one is called Sonic Crime Lab. Add more punch, reverb. Add tail, muddy drum loops, chainsaw grooves. Add double distortion, zippy reflections, and treble punishment. Add it all to the damaged goods. Turn it into vapor trails by feeding it through two hot amps, stereo, laceration. Make it slap happy and splashy with a sleaze verb with a strange twang. Feel tight constraint. Deliver it one nasty slap. Add more attack. Add more attack. The fizzy stack. Rave up. Result. Room killer.
I love that. That is great.
That's the first time I've actually read that poem.
Really?
Yes.
Sonic Crime Lab. Nice title also.
Thank you.
You know, Zippy reflections, add more attack. I love it. Yeah, really nice. I mean, that's one example of how you as a musician maybe integrate some of that into your poetry, or how those two affect each other.
Sure.
Other ways I'm imagining.
Well, I definitely like to mix my art forms. Poetry has not made its way into my drumming yet, perhaps someday.
Well, it has to have, right? I mean, it's in the movement, you have poems about waves and movement, and your drumming is all about movement and time, and don't you think it's just in there?
Sure. Yeah, they both rely on rhythm. Yeah. And that's and something I love about poetry, because poetry has to be a song of its own. It has to make its own rhythm. And I love that.
Yeah, I love that too. That's great. Do you have any other poems about drumming or about music?
Not per se, but music certainly makes its way into my poetry more often than I even thought it did. Mm-hmm. I've been working on this manuscript, and I've been working with a poet, Kayla Sargeson, and she told me that she found my chapbook to be a strange mix of skateboarding and music.
Well, that sounds good. Yeah. Also, well, I wanted to ask you about the intersection of tenderness and brutality in your work, which really stands out to me, you know, as a strength. You know, the poem about writing in the cemetery, you know, there's, and the eclipse, you know, there's such a, as you said before, a sensitivity in that, and yet you have a line, "I'm sitting on top of corpses, waiting for the cratered veil to awaken in me something." I don't have the rest of it, but very intense and some could say disturbing, you know, sitting on top of corpses, the way it's stated. So can you talk about that intersection of brutality and tenderness?
Again, this isn't a thing that I consciously do. I suppose these two qualities are just within me, and they come out onto the page together. I like to juxtapose two completely opposing forces to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that something is. I suppose that is up for interpretation within the reader.
And yet you're crafting these poems, you're making decisions, and maybe not with a grand plan, but it's certainly happening in a way that's really working. Okay, could you read some more?
Sure. This next one is titled "Coming Out to Christiana. I'll give a little bit of an intro to this poem as well. So a couple years ago, my brother got married in the Outer Banks. He rented a beach house and we stayed there for the week, and it was a really great time. But I was the best man for this wedding, and I hadn't written my best man toast yet. So one morning I went up to the beach with my notebook, and I was sitting at the ocean writing, and this woman came up to me, and we talked for a good hour or so and really got into some deep conversation, and this experience has stuck with me. This is just one poem that has come out of that experience. Coming out to Christiana. She tells me I'm transparent, and I am. I'm topless beneath the rising sun. The ocean scatters at our toes as she tells me she hates the sun for making her skin darker. And I wonder if she's ever wanted to peel hers off like I've done my chest. She asks what happened to my nipple, and I have no shirt to hide behind. Say I once had breasts, but never was woman. She says she thought I was a man. This next poem is an imitation poem of Eli Shipley, as well as an ekphrasis of Pisa Tutamundo, one of Keith Haring's murals. I believe it was actually his final mural before his passing. And this is also loosely based on an experience of dancing at this place called Second Saturdays at the Space Upstairs. It's sort of this improvisational dance jazz movement. Haring self-portrait. Hey, guy. I'm dancing naked in a gallery where I first trip with strangers, each body posturing in jazzed expression. One foot on the ground, I realize there's a body falling face first into the foot that I'm kicking. And I wonder if it's just me falling into myself, grasping postcard heart. Faceless figures dance, drinking gin and herbs mixed by a surgeon who boasts of his drug use, who believes we're all fingers on the same hand, reaching up, waving, separate but connected by bone. And now it seems every body looks the same naked, like the shapeless self I see in the mirror, free now like the dolphin swimming atop the back of a man, selfish, as if the only one of its kind.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Prosody. I'm Jan Beatty, and my guest today is the poet Aidan Engel, reading his work. And I just wanted to say how much I like that poem, and that, you know, the when you introduced it with the combination of all that stuff, I'm like, oh my God, how is this going to work?
It's a lot.
Keith Haring, Eli Shipley, and dancing in this club. But I was really interested. I'm like, how is he going to do this? Okay, but go ahead. I want to hear some more poems.
All right. This next one is titled Venice Beach 2016. This is another experience where I sort of went somewhere alone. I went to LA alone. And the first thing I did whenever I got off the plane and rented my car was I went to Venice Beach with my journal. And here's a poem that came from that. Venice Beach 2016. A Rasta man hands me a CD, asks me what my name is, signs the disc while I listen on a Walkman. We are confident, the track repeats. That's me, he repeats. Right on, I say. He hands me my signed copy. Do you have a tip, anything? Sorry, I don't. He yanks the CD from my hand, walks away, approaches the people behind me. They ignore him. He moves on again and again, his tightly matted dreadlocks swaying in the Pacific breeze. We are confident replays in my head. I could learn how to not care from this man. I walk the strip alone. It's late afternoon, and the homeless sleep under palm trees in the sand, behind food stands, artists, and healers. This next one is sort of a strange, very small poem titled Woundology, and I'll give a little aside on that term. Carolyn Miss coined the term woundology. It is a form of scapegoatology, which means outside events and others are blamed for what a wounded person experiences. Woundology. If you have a glass chest and wear Kevlar, you can still break, shatter into pieces sharp for the shank, become dust, become glitter. We've always been stars. Collective gravity of mass against the force of light. Nuclear fusion forcing photons outward. You slowly become red giant, the mass of the sun. And I become blue giant, just big, massive, and hot. Our constantly conflicted selves. Takes us 100,000 years to come to surface. This next one is titled For Eva. It's based on the experience of going to a gym, rejoining a gym that I had joined years ago. And years ago, I had this personal trainer who I thought I was in love with, but I'm thinking as time has passed, it's more of lust is what happened there. For Eva. It's darker at LA Fitness without you. I'm alone and trying to figure out the new layout. I'm part of the men's club now. Me and the guys in the free weights section, grunting as we pull and push, watching ourselves in the mirror. I'd like to watch you in the mirror one last time.
So I wanted to ask you about the short poem, because you write a lot of them, and I think you do it very well. I think short poems are really hard to write. Do you have anything to say about writing them?
Well, I would like to write longer poems, but I guess these short poems sort of serve a purpose of saying things in a quick and concise manner.
I wouldn't undercut them. There's a lot happening in those poems that you're reading.
Okay.
You know, and the last thing I think we want to do is equate shorter with less. I mean, there's a lot going on there. So, okay.
I like to make it jam-packed, I guess you could say.
Yeah, a lot happens in your poems in a short period of time. Exactly. Okay, so we have time for one more, I think.
Okay, I'll end with a poem entitled Blunderbuss. He leaves my Blunderbuss album cover on the floor of the passenger side of my car, ripped down the center. Heavy feet are always dangerous feet. My friend topples down the basement stairs, says he's not even that drunk. Wake up to the sound of his spewing. My fortune cookie tells me, when both feet are planted firmly, nothing can shake you.
It's the poetry of Aidan Engel. Thank you so much. That was really good.
Thanks, Jan. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Prosody, WESA's weekly show featuring the work of poets and writers. Writers appearing on Prosody also have their work showcased in Chapter and Verse, a biweekly feature in Pittsburgh City Paper, the arts entertainment news weekly published every Wednesday. Prosody is produced by Jan Beatty. Our sound engineers are Michelle Stoner and Lisa Alexander. Please tune in every Saturday morning at 6:30 for Prosody 90.5 WESA.